Thanks for tuning in to Best Show Ever, a podcast presented by the Englert Theater. On today's episode, we're getting lit for literature with the founder of Iowa City Poetry, Lisa Roberts. We'll also hear from Jim Trepka, professor of electronic engineering at Kirkwood Community College. Let's get right into it. Lisa Roberts is the founding director of Iowa City Poetry, a nonprofit organization dedicated to connecting the greater Iowa City community to poetry resources, workshops, and readings. Before founding Iowa City Poetry, she worked extensively with the Iowa Youth Writing Project and has been organizing the free generative writing workshop since 2013. Recently, Lisa and her team pulled off a weekend-long poetry festival here in Iowa City called Mic Check Poetry Fest. Lisa, thank you so much for being on the Best Show Ever podcast today.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Of course. So we're talking Iowa City Poetry today. Give us some background as to the origins of Iowa City Poetry, the need it looks to fill.
Yeah, you know, it was born from necessity when I moved here in 2011. I'd come into, you know, here I am at the home of the Iowa Writers Workshop, and I'm in the city of Lit, and I write some poems, and I want to jump in and get involved. So, you know, I started to trawl the internet and, you know, ask everyone I knew, like, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And, you know, two things started to emerge. One was that a lot was going on, and it was kind of hard to find if you weren't already plugged in. So I thought, you know, I'm not a student or a faculty member at the university at that time. And so I thought, you know, how do I find out about this stuff? So I found out more and more and more. And after a while I thought, you know, this shouldn't be so hard. Somebody should put all this stuff in one place. And then I thought, oh, maybe I can do that. So I thought I'll have a small role, right? I'll be like an entree for people like me who kind of drop into this culture and don't have an automatic in. They can, and they love poetry, they can kind of get on, you know, the website. So we really started as a calendar, a poetry calendar. Mm-hmm. And it was so funny. I would just like take my notebook and I'd run around all the kiosks to see the posters. And I would again just comb the internet and talk to people. And it was really kind of crazy, you know, how much stuff was happening. But at the same time, yeah, I just thought it shouldn't be so hard. And also, you know, I really loved taking workshops, you know, no matter what age I am, I really get a lot of inspiration from working with people, you know, in person with fantastic poets who are, you know, nurturing and encouraging. And, I had to go out of town to do that, Ellie. I had to drive to Davenport an hour, you know, to the Midwest Writing Center or check out some things in Cedar Rapids. So it was really clear that even though as a student, there's a ton going on here, if you're already enrolled, or if you're rich enough to pay a couple $1,000s to actually take a university course as a community member, which you can do, but I wasn't that person. And I thought, you know, there needs to be more going on in the community for the community. So, of course, you can go to Prairie Lights and, like, hear the most amazing poets read. Of course, you can go to the workshop. A lot of people don't know that those readings are open to everybody. You know, and that was one thing I wanted to do, too, to make that really clear to everybody. But, you know, outside of festivals, right, like summer festivals and then yearly festivals that did have some writing opportunities and workshops with great teachers and writers, there just wasn't something happening consistently. So when I retired from the Iowa Youth Writing Project, I thought, well, maybe it's time for Iowa City Poetry to branch out and develop some of its own original programming rather than publicizing what other people are doing. Yeah, and so we've got some lofty goals, but we're really new as a nonprofit. We just started in March 2020. Anything else going on in March? It was not the best time to start a new nonprofit. Yeah, so I just really, you know, could we be someday like The Loft? Could we be someday like other big writing organizations? Well, we'll see, but right now we're taking baby steps.
I just love to imagine you just running around looking at all the little posters and like a little notebook writing everything down. Such humble beginnings. And I hear that so often when you're not a student, it is really challenging to get plugged in to any art community, which is really no one's fault. I mean, there just are a lot of resources for the students, but they should be resources for the whole community. And it is so helpful to have a place to go to find that readily available information on what's happening and how to get involved. Tell us briefly, we'll talk about the Mic Check Poetry Fest, but great, what are some of your other favorite programs that Iowa City Poetry has done?
Yeah, okay, I'll say it. I was proud of how we rallied during the pandemic because, you know, we were poised at this moment. As I said, we came on as a nonprofit in March 2020. And so we're like, okay, let's book some space. Let's get some people in some workshops. Like, oh, that wasn't going to happen. And clearly there were many more important things going on in our culture at that moment than, you know, us thinking about our workshops. But, you know, as soon as we made the leap to online, it felt really beautiful to be able to, again, kind of answer a need. And we didn't even really know at that moment because it was so early. It was April, May, like how much of a need people felt to connect, to be writing in community, to just see people's faces. And Zoom was new. And, you know, to be able to kind of organize this online workshop with a wonderful teacher and to make it about kind of meditative writing, being in the moment with your writing and with each other, it felt important. And, you know, I connected with so many people early on through the early workshops, and you could feel this like visceral charge through the screen when we could see each other's faces and looking, and we felt that we were looking into each other's eyes. Now we know that we're all sort of looking somewhere else, but it felt that way. And we all looked forward to it every Saturday, getting together to do that kind of writing. So I'm proud that we were able to kind of rally so quickly and make that happen.
That is magical. It made me think, during most natural disasters or, you know, big, I think of the derecho, you know, once the derecho happened, everyone came outside and like started talking to each other and sharing resources. But the pandemic, that's absolutely not an option. It's like do the opposite. And so everyone just wants desperately to connect with other people about this crazy stuff that's happening. We just need some organization and a meeting place and a purpose to congregate. So that work is so important.
Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way too. And you know, it's funny. I think after, you know, housing, food, our basics, there's something in us that turns to like wanting prayer and magic spells. And that's what poetry is. You know, it's a form of prayer. It's a form of magic spell. It's elevated, intensified language with a purpose that seems to do something. It acts on our bodies and our minds and our spirits in a very in a very electric way. You know, some people might say, well, why does poetry, you know, sort of have a rebirth, you know, after Twin Towers in 2001? Or why during the pandemic did all these poetry sites, you know, spring up? It's like, I think it's for that reason.
I love the way you describe that, poetry as a spell.
Magic spell. Oh, yeah. Done well, it mesmerizes us, right? And it
absolutely
makes us feel like something, we're experiencing something transformative and we'll be someone different on the other side.
Mm-hmm. You're like making me feel like, oh, gotta get a poetry book now, need it.
Well, you're a musician and that's the same thing. It's the same deal.
True. So let's talk about very recently pulled off successfully a whole weekend-long poetry festival, Mic Check Poetry Fest. First of all, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Second of all, what was the idea behind the festival, and what did you hope to achieve with such a large literature undertaking?
Yeah. Well, I co-produced it with Caleb Rainey, stage name Caleb, the Negro artist. We love Caleb.
We love.
Yes, absolutely. And it was just really funny because he and I had connected through the Iowa Youth Writing Project years and years ago. And, you know, he came in as a volunteer instructor and then sort of jumped off into creating his own organization, IC Speaks, with the support of the Angler and at first the IYWP. And so there'd been a junior high spoken word conference in 2019. And it was very small and it was for teens. It was for junior high kids and high schoolers. And we had collaborated on organizing that when I was with the org. And it was just really funny when he came to me in spring of 20 of this year and said, hey, I'd like to team up with Iowa City Poetry. It was like, first, yes, anything you want, I will work very hard to help make happen. And it was ironic that in our very first talk, we both had the same idea to expand that initial teen spoken word conference into a larger festival for people of all ages. And so we just started dreaming and scheming right then about how to involve people, you know, poets and rappers and, you know, people who love spoken word and bring it into a larger setting. So we're like, it's going to be 3 days, 3 day festival. You know, most of all, so we really wanted to have a chance to spotlight that art form in our area, to make it more visible and heard, and then also to give people a platform who really already are practitioners to have, you know, a larger stage to do that. And
tell us briefly about what we can expect from the writing workshops in the spring. What are you excited about when it comes to those? Just give us the skinny.
Okay. So Becca Claver is an amazing poet who was in our area for a long time. She worked at Cornell with the literary center there. She's just recently moved away, but I was lucky enough to connect with her because she lived in Iowa City and then worked in Cornell and in Mount Vernon. And she is offering a workshop in January, and we're going to get that up really soon, called To Hell and Back, A Poetic Journey. It's really about looking at archetypes and mythology and literature and poetry of female characters who go deep, who go dark, who take a journey, and then what they learn and how they're transformed there and how they come back. And, you know, To Hell and Back is such a great title because I think a lot of us feel like that kind of describes what we've been going through the last couple years, year and a half. So, and Becca has this amazing combination of poetic brilliance and knowledge with, you know, sort of a deeply empathetic core. And so she's just a fantastic person to take a workshop with because you're getting amazing craft instruction, but also an environment that feels conducive to creativity, non-judgmental, where, you know, crazy, wonderful things happen in her presence. And she's somebody who thinks a lot about magic and spells. And I think that a spell falls over us and we all kind of, you know, create something new and brilliant when we're working with her. So that's happening. And Nora Claire Miller, who went through the workshop here and has now moved on. Sad, very sad. I hate how transitory this town can be, but if that's the price we have to pay to have to briefly intersect with amazing talent, then I guess I'll pay it. But Nora Claire Miller is coming back and offering a workshop on nonsense poetry, and it's just going to be brilliant because it's going to be all about sort of the power of sound and deconstructing our assumptions about how language should work. And that's just going to be really whimsical and fantastic. Kathleen Maris Paltrinari is going to be offering an eco-poetry workshop. And that's just three. And we're reaching out to other people and seeing what else can happen. Those are 4-week workshops. And it's really, really important to us, Ellie, that they're affordable. because anyone who starts to look for workshops knows that if they have an unlimited bank account, trust fund, whatever, it's very easy to take great workshops because they cost $400 to $600 for short periods of time. And you can find those. But it's really important to us to not do that. And so basically I estimate, well, I figure out how much the cost is to pay the instructor. And then that's it. All the money goes to pay the instructor. So for the 4 weeks, it's $100. And then also everyone so far who's asked for a tuition discount or a waiver has received it.
Excellent. Well, that was a very stunning pitch. elevator pitch for these workshops. Yeah, they sound really awesome and different, and that's exciting. Last question. You've lived in France, China, Vegas, all over. How do you describe Iowa City, the city of lit, to people who have never been here? People who've interacted with in other places and they're like, why the heck did you move there?
Oh, I always think if somebody asks that, it comes from, is it terrible to say it comes from ignorance? It means they don't understand. They don't understand the history of this place and the incredible arts community it's been for 50 to 70 years, really beyond. So what do I say to them? So the food was better in Hong Kong and the views, I have to say. the visual art and the galleries, so far, Stanley's not open yet. They were better in Besançon, France. But for the sense of community support and the way in which the different arts nonprofits have each other's backs, I just think we're unparalleled. I really, truly believe that we are the greatest small city for the arts. And that was proven to me by my experiences with Caleb and Mike Czech Poetry Fest. Honestly, every single one of our events was made possible through a partnership with someone else. We had no money, Ellie. We had no money. So we wrote some grants and we got a couple of sponsorships. And then people said, yes, I will donate my space to you for free. Yes, you know, we will offer the support of your teen poets for free. That's the Angler, obviously. So I can't imagine anywhere else where all artists see everyone's events in part as a collaboration and understands that we're all raising the barn together.
Snaps for that, Lisa. Well done. You are a woman of words. That is coming through to me. Well, thank you again. This has been so much fun.
Ellie, I adore the work you do, shining a light on all of the rest of us in our little tiny spheres. And you shine a big light on us. So thank you, Ellie.
Oh, that was so sweet. We'll be right back in conversation with Jim Trepka after a quick word from our development director, Katie Roche.
Did you know that you could be promoting your business, organization, or event to Best Show Ever podcast listeners by placing an ad here on the show? Sponsoring Best Show Ever or other Englert programming ties your brand to a local legacy, the Englert Theater. And your support of the Englert now means more than ever before. In 2020, we experienced significant revenue shortfall brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. Through this financially tumultuous time, we're producing new digital productions, including this podcast, our Stages concert series, and Witching Hour Festival, all to inspire positive community growth through the arts. Packages range from $100 on up. Our investment in the arts community is only possible with support from sponsors like you. And art supporters are known for supporting those that support the arts. Visit englert.org/sponsorship for all of the information about how to advertise. I mean, you're listening right now. Place your ad here, englert.org/sponsorship.
Jim Trepka is a professor of electronic engineering technology at Kirkwood Community College. Before he started his career as an educator, Jim garnered a decade of industry experience as a telecommunications and biomedical professional. You'll hear that Jim is very modest in our interview, but according to Rate My Professor reviews online, he is an extraordinary teacher and mentor. Here's one review that seems to sum them all up pretty well. Jim is awesome, one of the best teachers I have ever had, and I would not be where I am today without him. Jim, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day to come on to our fun little podcast.
You're welcome.
Okay, so my first question for you is, how did you come into the fantastical world of electrical engineering?
I started at the University of Minnesota and earned a Bachelor's of Science there in electrical engineering, and then I moved to Iowa City to do my master's degree in electrical engineering.
And why did you choose to study electrical engineering?
I like math, and electrical engineering has a lot of math in it, and it's very logical engineering compared to some other subjects, and the job prospects were good.
To me, it electricity is like just magic. It just magically happens. You flip the switch, things turn on. That's how I perceive it. What do you enjoy most about working in this particular trade beyond the problem solving, the use of math?
Well, because I'm an instructor at Kirkwood Community College, you know, I'm working with students most of my day, and I enjoy having them comprehend the material because it is a difficult subject to learn.
And why do you think most of your students are studying, you know, this very trade specific thing, rather than, say, going to a liberal arts school? And
it's a variety of reasons, but the most common usually is just that there are jobs in the field and they're interested in this sort of work because it's technical work, but it's generally reasonably clean technical work as compared to, say, construction, where you're out in, you know, could be minus 10 in January and you're out doing whatever you need to do. My students end up generally in climate controlled environments, and, you know, it's interesting and challenging.
I think part of the reason we are interested in having someone from Kirkwood in an industry specific arena or a 2-year program, I think there's a lot of societal expectation to pursue a career that is your passion, as to rather thinking about what sort of employment will suit your lifestyle. It doesn't have to be this over-the-top way of thinking of going to school and then going to grad school and then having this whole career, rather than you can learn a trade and know that there's a job on the other side for you and you don't have to fight tooth and nail for it. Do you think these are sort of thoughts that your students are having or processing, you know, trying to think about what to do for the rest of their lives?
Many of them think like that. Other students sometimes are right out of high school and they're just trying this because they think they have some interest and it might match what they want to do. We generally lose a certain number of students each fall for various reasons. Sometimes they're just not ready for college, or sometimes it's not what they thought it was going to be, the field, or sometimes it's financial reasons. I mean, it's similar at the University of Iowa that the freshman class is usually bigger than the sophomore class.
What are your favorite moments as an educator? Is it seeing them get a good grade, or walking students through a problem, or?
It's usually when a student becomes successful at a task. Grades, not so much, because sometimes some students can get good grades but not really grasp material as well as they should, or they don't remember it long term. And it's more rewarding when you just see students who become more competent. If they become more competent and more interested in what they're doing and start taking more initiative, those are the three qualities I would list.
I feel like I was one of the students who was actually just pretty good at memorizing things before the test, and then forgetting them a week later. So I totally know what you're talking about. What is the greatest piece of knowledge or the greatest skill that you want your students to walk away with and walk into their careers with?
Well, I think the greatest skill is learning to learn on your own so that they can continue to improve themselves.
You are the chair for the Iowa City's chapter of the Sierra Club. Can you talk about why you decided to get involved with that?
Initially, I was a member of the Sierra Club, and I came to a meeting once, and this was before my children were born, and one woman said, well, you don't have children yet. You should have plenty of time, and put me in charge of, I think I agreed to be the outings chair at the time. And then a few years ago, we couldn't get anyone else who wanted to be the chair, so I agreed to be the chair. And I've often, when someone new comes who's interested in doing things, I always mention my position's open if they'd like it.
I love that candidness. That's totally sums up activist clubs or nonprofit work. What is it about environmental activism that spoke to you?
Well, I really enjoy being outdoors myself. I've hiked the John Muir Trail, and I've hiked the Wonderland Trail around Mount Rainier. So it resonates with me, protecting natural areas. Some places you go, you can really see how things have changed even in my lifetime. Like, for instance, when ethanol became a bigger deal, you saw a lot of farms where they just got rid of a lot of tree cover they used to have so they could do more corn. And I also enjoy kayaking, and you notice that the water level in most places in Iowa is despicable.
Mm. So you're actually seeing the effects happening, and you're like, I need to start getting more involved.
Yes. You know, for instance, another good example is in Iowa City, we have what's called Clear Creek. If you go to Clear Creek anytime after it rains, the water's, you can't see more than an inch in it because it's so full of silt and so forth.
Mm. Yeah, not ideal. Is there anything that you're able to bring from your background in electrical engineering and math and science to the table when you're talking about environmental activism?
Well, I understand electrical generation and a lot of the complexities that are involved with that. I'm a big advocate of wind energy and solar energy. Another issue I'd bring up related to my field is there's a big issue with electronic waste that most people don't think about, because you get your new phone, you get rid of your old phone, you get a new computer, but then all that material just, it's not dealt with well now, and there aren't real good solutions.
Definitely a lot of work to be done there as well. And I've only heard a little bit about that kind of waste, but I know it's just going to be a greater and greater issue if it's not circumvented sometime soon. So, okay, well, now we're getting to the best show ever portion of the podcast. We'd like you to describe your favorite live event experience in Iowa City.
All right. My favorite event was seeing Paula Poundstone at the Englert.
A few years, not too long though, like a few years ago, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. She was very impressive, and she didn't take a break the whole time. She went 2 hours straight. In fact, she was making fun of people in the audience who might have needed to use the restroom at one point.
Oh my gosh. Who did you see the show with?
My spouse.
And what was the energy in the room like? Someone who deals with energy, different kind of energy.
Just generally happy, humorous.
What are the kinds of live events that you go to typically? Are you a comedy person, a music person?
I like to see the musicals when Hancher holds them, because they're so reasonably priced as compared to if you went to Chicago or New York, and they're so well done. I enjoy comedies, and I also really like going to the film scene.
Okay. Well, Jim, thank you so much for dipping into your office for a few moments of just chatting with us today. We appreciate you volunteering your time for this. Our song of the week is Your Other One by Sophie Mitchell featuring New World Vulture. Sophie Mitchell is an artist, writer, and musician based out of Iowa City. The song you're about to hear is Sophie's debut single, and it explores the complex and contradicting feelings one might experience after a breakup. Sophie's collaborator, New World Vulture, aka Nick Wilkins, is now receiving his third, maybe fourth, shout out on this podcast because that dude be working with everyone, and we love to see it. Here's the song Your Other One by Sophie Mitchell. Serving the Iowa City area, Martin Construction was voted Best Home Improvement Company by Little Village in 2019 and 2020. Martin Construction is here to improve your home and lifestyle, incorporating the best design, products, workmanship, service, and trade partners, and with the lowest impact on your personal and global environment. Visit them online at andrewmartinconstruction.com. Martin Construction, member of the Greater Iowa City Home Builders Association and Johnson County Affordable Housing Coalition. Support for this podcast comes from Friends of the Englert. To learn more, visit englert.org/friends. Ongoing support provided by the National Endowment for the Arts and the Iowa Arts Council, a division of the Iowa Department of Cultural Affairs, and by the United States Regional Arts Resilience Fund. Phase 1 is an initiative of Arts Midwest and its peer United States Regional Arts Organizations, made possible by the Andrew W. Mellon Foundation.